The following presentation was recorded at the Buddhist Society of Victoria, Malvern East, Australia. Please visit our website at bsv.net.au.
All of you are welcome to my Dhamma Talks. Today I was invited to give the Dhamma Talk. So, yeah, previous talk I heard that someone asked questions, posed a question on the YouTube. So I thought just a little bit talk about it, because I saw it just before I come here. Because I remembered I was sent that question. So a little bit I will talk about this duality, how I understand duality. Because the duality, there is a people, when we are practicing this the Noble Eightfold Path, we see, we have to face a dual behaviors, duality, in our way of dealing with our body and mind. So that is what I see, the duality in our this Buddhist practices. So then that's why I want to explain it, because people otherwise misunderstand the path. So sometimes people say Nibbana exists and Nibbana doesn't exist, that kind of ideas. Yeah, that depends on the interpretation. Nibbana exists or Nibbana doesn't exist. Nibbana means extinguishment. So there is nothing exists once it extinguishes. So that is, it is called extinguishment. So once it's extinguished, there is nothing. So, but there is a process to extinguish the whatever thing exists here, or whatever thing arising here. There is a path to enter, to bring to that extinguishment. So that's why we have to understand these things in the right way. What Buddha meant by the Nibbana. Nibbana is the extinguishment. So once it extinguished, there is nothing. Yeah, that's true. No more existence. So it is the end of existence. Existence happens based on causes and conditions. When the causes and conditions go to cessation, the existence go to cessation, then no more existence there. So that is called extinguishment. They showed by the similes. Lord Buddha showed these similes, the simile of this lantern or the lamp, oil lamp. So when either oil or wick or heat go to cessation, the flame go to cessation. No more flame there. When all these things come back together, then the flame can arise again. So that is how this consciousness arise, consciousness manifest in this conscious systems. So Lord Buddha say it goes to extinguishment. So when the causes and conditions go to cessation without any reminder, so there are no more reason to arise that flame or that consciousness again. So that's what Lord Buddha say in teaching in suttas. So the duality means, so the duality we experience when we are practicing is, in Pali terms, we can say sammuti and paramatta. That means the ultimate truths, ultimate realities, and how we know about ultimate realities. And sammuti is a convention related to where we are living. So we have to follow the conventions related to our body and mind. All these conventions actually based on delusion, because it is the way how these bodies and minds survive in this world. It is the beneficial way. Conventions build up based on the benefit of the majority or the most of the people. Not only that, some conventions are come to the convention because the people, how they see their survival and how what they have to do for their survival. So all these things come to matter when establishing conventions. So conventions gradually, the conventions are not permanent. We have to understand these things gradually change to different states and different practices. So that's why these things are not fixed things. So that's why Lord Buddha say, even though you follow the conventions, it never leads to the end of suffering. It never leads to the extinguishment. So that's why the Silabhata Paramasa, that means, so following these the conventions or the virtue is not enough to end this samsaric journey, this flow of consciousness happening. So that's why you should understand the basic realities related to this conscious process or these bodies and minds. Then you are inspired to drive the mind to cessation. That means stop all doings. All doings come from delusion. So all intentions, all volitions are based on delusion. But when you are living in this day-to-day life, you have to use your will to do things. Otherwise, you can't survive. You can't maintain your body. You can't live with other people if you don't understand the convention. So that's why then you have to deal with the deluded world in that way, including your body and mind, because your body and mind also run based on delusion. All other bodies and minds also run based on delusion. They don't consider as there is no I, me, myself. But when we inspire our minds to bring to cessation, we consider these bodies and minds is a natural phenomenon. All feelings, forms, feelings, perceptions, volitions, and consciousnesses arise based on causes and conditions and each and every moment. When the causes and conditions change, these forms, feelings, perceptions, volitions, and consciousnesses change. So these are not fixed things. How can we claim as this is I, this is me, this is myself? There is no fixed thing there. It is just a flow of happening things. So when we take in that way, we see this the continuous flow of happening things always associate with suffering. Why? These things are changed, but you have this conscious process always generates choices, wishes, the attachments, cravings, and those cravings leads to suffering because we are always associated with the impermanent objects, impermanent forms, feelings, perceptions, and volitions. That is the truth. That is the reality. So that's why when people see this, whatever thing we are experiencing in this life in this way, so they were motivated to let go of these things. Then they know when we associate with these things, it leads to suffering. Suffering is a part of the system. So then we have to leave the system. We have to let go of the five senses. We have let go of the mind. Then we can escape from suffering, at least temporarily. Once we see our mind is attached to objects and crave to objects, so we should know then if you are unhappy, you are in a state of suffering, you can see where the craving is if you watch it, if you pay attention, what should I crave? What am I craving now? That's why suffering, that is the proximate cause of suffering, the craving, wanting. So once you see that, then you see, you cave to impermanent stuff, not under your control. It is a naturally arise things and naturally fade away and disappear. So your mind was deluded. That's all. Then when you see that, you release your mind. Your mind automatically release from suffering. So that's what Lord Buddha inspire people to use this knowledge in your day-to-day life. Then you see, yes, this is true. This is correct. Then you see the liberation in one by one issues. So then you know, but these issues never come to end when you are conscious. When you are conscious, the craving arises. It is a part of this conscious process. It is not your fault. It is the way how it works. So then you are inspired to bring this consciousness to total cessation. So that's why then you pay attention to some object, external object, or the one of the objects you are not used in your day-to-day life as a human. So then you focus attention to those objects and let go all these human world objects. So then you temporarily experience the liberation. It is a temporary liberation because the underlying tendencies having with this stream of consciousness bring back your attention to the five sense world. That is what happened when a person attained jhana. After some time, that mind come back to the five sense world. Because you claim this body as yours. That is a part of delusion. And then you come back to your five senses and come back to the five senses. So you can, when you directly experience these things, then you see the goods and bads related to this process. And you know in the same time how to escape this process. So then once you understand these realities, there are no more craving to the stream of consciousness exist. When you develop your mind to those states and experience how mind comes back to these five senses, how it releases from the five senses. So that is the first step. The second step is to how to release from the mind. So then you develop, if you know, when you have that understanding, everything arises based on causes and conditions. So you know the mind consciousness also arises based on causes and conditions. So then you let go those causes and conditions and develop mind to the higher states. That means they are the total cessation. So this is the way how Lord Buddha. So this is the ultimate truth. So you are, when you are practicing meditation, your mind inclined to the ultimate truths. You are achieving, you are letting go this five sense world, the attachments, cutting off all the attachments to the five senses, and you develop your mind to the higher states. So that is the duality. When you are a real Buddhist practitioner, you see this duality. If you are not a Buddhist practitioner or the practitioner who inclined to achieve these higher states of mind, then they don't see duality. Even the other religions, when you are practicing, if you want to unite with the God, so unite with the light, you develop practice meditation, so then you have to leave this five sense world. So then you see the duality again. So that's why we have to understand based on the basic understanding. So the important thing I want to show, I will read the part of a sutta. So that one actually I have chosen early to read today because the way how Lord Buddha introduced this Dhamma to people to inspire them is always the same. So the Lord Buddha brings to the basics of experiences, this form, the sight, sound, smell, taste, touches, and thoughts, and all forms, feelings, perceptions, volitions, and consciousnesses arise within this body and mind, always subject to change. Therefore, it leads to suffering. So, when it leads to suffering, can you claim as I, me, myself? There is no myself. This is not self. This is a natural flow of happening things. Causes and conditions generate these things. This is the basic teaching of Buddhism. Lord Buddha always inspire people to pay attention on these things and take into account and use in your day-to-day life. So then Lord Buddha say, that is Sutava Arya Savako, the person who listened to Dhamma, listened to Buddha Dhamma Sangha, and they learn that the basics of Dhamma and they take into their day-to-day practice. Then there are way of seeing this world. The first thing, you change the perceptions related to this world. The mind has already deluded perceptions. Take things as I, me, myself. So you start changing those perceptions. Then you correct your mind. So then you have the right mindset to see this world. So then you correct your vision. So when you have the right vision, then you have the right motivations. So that is how this Noble Eightfold Path starts. So that is the thing we have to understand. So that's why Lord Buddha repeatedly say the same thing. So then I will read this sutta. This is Mahapurnama Sutta. This is the Majjhima Nikaya Sutta, the middle length discourses. So this, I actually read extract of that sutta, not the whole sutta. So then after that, you can ask questions. So this is Ajahn Sujato's translation. Majjhima Nikaya Uparipannasaka Devadahavagga Mahapunnama Sutta. Middle length discourses 109. This is the translation of the name. The longer discourse on the full moon night. So this is an extract. I read from the middle actually. But sir, how does identity view come about? It is when an unlearned ordinary person has not seen noble ones, is neither skilled nor trained in the teaching of the noble ones. They have not seen good persons and are neither skilled nor trained in the teaching of the good persons. They regard form as self, self as having form, form in self or self in form. So this is very simple thing. Anyone take this body is I. So it is common for all living beings. This body is I. I am experiencing. I feel. This body is me. So the Lord Buddha say, that is wrong. That is not true. So you can't claim this body as you because it is not permanent. It is changing. And it changed based on causes and conditions, not because you. So that's what Lord Buddha say in the next paragraphs. So they regard feeling as self, self as having feeling, feeling in the self or self in the feeling. The feeling also take in the same way. If you feel something, oh, I felt like this. You take as like that. It is a part of this deluded mind. It is a part of all peoples. It is common for all human beings, all living beings. They regard perception as self, self as having perception, perception in self or self in perception. They regard choices as self, self as having choices, choices in self or self in choices. They regard consciousness as self, self as having consciousness, consciousness in self or self in consciousness. That's how identity view comes about. That is how this wrong view come to us, because wrong usage, wrong practice. But sir, then the monk asked the question, but sir, how does identity view not come about? It is when a learned, noble disciple has seen the noble ones and skilled and trained in the teaching of the noble ones, they have seen good persons and are skilled and trained in the teaching of the good persons. They don't regard form as self, self as having form, form in self or self in form. This is just when associate you learn this is, there is no truth in this taking in this way, so you have to consider in the other way. So you learn it and carefully understand, and then you take into your practice. So then they don't regard the form as self, self as form, self as having form, form in self or self in form. They don't regard feeling as self, self as having feeling, feeling in self or self in feeling. They don't regard perception as self, self as having perception, perception in self or self in perception. They don't regard choices as self, self as having choices, choices in self or self in choices. They don't regard consciousnesses as self, self as having consciousness, consciousness in self or self in consciousness. That's how the identity view does not come about. So that is the way how we should get rid of the identity view. So what is the gratification, the drawback, and escape when it comes to form? That is the asado adinavo nissarano. That is the question. So what is the gratification, the drawback, and the escape when it comes to form? What is the gratification, the drawback, and escape when it comes to feeling? What is the gratification, the drawback, and escape when it comes to perception? What is the gratification, drawback, and escape when it comes to choices? What is the gratification, drawback, and escape when it comes to consciousness? So Lord Buddha says like this: the pleasure and happiness that arise from form, this is the gratification. The pleasure and happiness that arise from form, this is the gratification. So whatever pleasure arise, that is your gratification. Asad. That form is impermanent, suffering, and perishable. This is its drawback. That is the adinava. Because whatever form you associate with, enjoy with, is subject to change and vanish. It is impermanent, suffering, and perishable. That is its drawback. Removing and giving up desire and greed for the form, this is its escape. That is the nissarana. Once you cut off the greed to the form, your mind gets released. So that is the nissarana. In the same way, the pleasure and happiness that arise from feeling, this is the gratification. That feeling is impermanent, suffering, and perishable. This is its drawback. Removing and giving up the desire and greed for feeling, this is its escape. Third one, the pleasure and happiness that arise from perception, this is its gratification. That perception is impermanent, suffering, and perishable, this is its drawback. Removing and giving up desire and greed for the perception, this is its escape. Fourth one, the pleasure and happiness that arise from choices, this is its gratification. Those are impermanent, suffering. Those choices are impermanent, suffering, and perishable. This is its drawback. Removing and giving up desire and greed for choices, this is its escape. Fifth one, the pleasure and happiness that arise from consciousness, this is its gratification. That consciousness is impermanent, suffering, and perishable, that is its drawback. Removing and giving up desire and greed for consciousness, this is its escape. So Lord Buddha explained what is gratification, what is drawback, and how the escape happens within us. So when we reflect on objects as it leads to suffering, these are impermanent, non-self, and leads to suffering, then your craving go to cessation. You let go the craving. So then it's release your mind from suffering. So there is the escape. So I will read another part. Now, mendicants, you have been educated by me in questioning with regard all these things in such cases. What do you think, mendicants? Is form permanent or impermanent? Impermanence. But if it is impermanent, is it suffering or happiness? Suffering, sir. But if it is impermanent, suffering and perishable, subject to change, is it fit to be regarded thus? This is mine, I am this, this is myself. So this is the way how Lord Buddha directly teach these things. No, sir. What do you think, mendicants? Is feeling permanent or impermanent? Is the perception permanent or impermanent? Are choices permanent or impermanent? Is consciousnesses permanent or impermanent? Impermanent, sir. But if it is impermanent, is it suffering or happiness? Suffering, sir. But if it is impermanent, suffering and perishable or subject to change, is it fit to be regarded thus? This is mine, I am this, this is myself. No, sir. So, you should truly see any kind of form at all, past, future, or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all form with the right understanding. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. You should truly see any kind of feeling at all, past, future, or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all feeling with right understanding. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. You should truly see any kind of perception at all, past, future, or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all perception with right understanding. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. You should truly see any kind of choices at all, past, future, or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all choices with right understanding. This is not mine, I am not this, this is not myself. You should truly see any kind of consciousness at all, past, future, or present, internal or external, coarse or fine, inferior or superior, far or near, all consciousnesses with right understanding. This is not mine. I am not this. This is not myself. Seeing this, a learned, noble disciple grows disillusioned with form, feeling, perception, choices, and consciousnesses. So this is the way how we should grow in disillusion. So how do we cultivate disillusionment within us? So because the mind is always deluded, it runs based on delusion. It is a part of the system. It is part of this all living beings. It is a part of the consciousness. So that's why we have to train our mind to do the right thing in the present moment. So no need to worry about the past. No need to worry about the future. So that then you see the necessity of mindfulness. If you are mindful, then you can arouse the right attention, right view to the present moment and let go things. Whatever thing arise in the present moment, whatever thing arise in the present moment related to past or future, you should understand these things are impermanent. These are arise based on causes and conditions. Not because you. There is no I, me, myself here. It is a natural flow of happening things. If you wrongly take these things, it leads to suffering. Because craving generates if you wrongly connect to these things. Whatever thing arises in the present moment. So this disillusionment, we have to cultivate. We have to practice correctly. Then gradually we come to the path. Then we come to the right practices. Then we directly see the extinguishment of suffering within yourself. That is one by one first. Then you see, you have to develop your mind to liberate from five sense world. So then you develop your mind to the jhana realms. And then you clearly see the full liberation from the five sense world. So then you see why this mind come back to this five sense world. So because it is a part of the latent forces in the stream of consciousness. That's why it brings back to the five sense world. So then you see again and again this phenomena within yourself. Then you see the causes and conditions which are driving this the stream of consciousness. Then you'll get rid of all these causes and conditions, and you get liberated from all attachments, all craving, wanting to the five sense world. So then you have to go the other part by developing your mind to the full liberation. That means the total extinguishment. Sanya Vedita Nirodha. So, being disillusioned, desire fades away. When desire fades away, they are freed. When they are freed, they know they are freed. This desire fades away has different levels. So, first, the desire fades away to associate with this five sense world. Kamaraga patiga is desire, the fade away in the second stage. First stage, the sakkaya ditti vichikicca silabbada palamas, this the personality view and all the wrong practices or wrong attachment to different kind of practices to get rid of suffering, these things disappear. When you develop the right, the non-personality view, the non-self, once you develop that right view, so then you let go the all wrong practices. Silabbata paramasa. And vichikicca, the doubt related to these practices, because you directly see your mind is liberating from suffering when you take in the right way. So then there is no reminder to these, the lower fetters. So the kamaraga patiga is the rest of the part of the lower fetters. Is that is the attachment to the five sense world, the indulgence in with the five sense world, in the five sense world. So when you develop mind to the jhana levels, so you clearly see the escape from the five sense world, and then you can clearly understand the gratification, drawbacks, and escape from five sense world. So then you have, then it leads to the no more craving to the five sense world. End of the desire. Desire fades away and come to the end. To desire to indulge with five sense world. So then it is anagami. That means you are non-returner. So then your mind only stay with this fine material realm and non-immaterial realms. So this is how Lord Buddha teach this Dhamma. So if you have any questions, you can ask now. So
Abhanga is a very important sutta. Thank you for explaining it very clearly. To make it more clearer for ordinary people like us, you mentioned the three things, Aswada, Adinava, and Nisarana. That is gratification, is Aswada. Then Adinava is see the consequences. Consequences, and of course letting go, Nisarana. The consequences is based on the fact that all these things are impermanent. So the basic message is, if you attach to something that is impermanent, that causes suffering. Why that is important? Because the inherent quality of the mind is to cling, grasp, and attach, pasa. Because of that only, the what is impermanent leads to suffering. That is the reason. Because of the inherent quality of the mind to cling, attach, and grasp, pasa. It comes in the dependent origination as well. That is why it leads to suffering. It's obviously, best thing is to let go. Nisarana. That is that Pachutta. Then talking of taking responsibility for yourself as self, if you look at the physiology of your body, everything is, you're not doing anything. Your heart is beating by itself. You are breathing by itself. Your digestion is taking by itself. Your excretion is by itself. Even there are a lot of things I can tell you. Everything is not in your control. It is happening as a part of the nature. The way a tree grows by itself, so there's no difference. Our body is part of the nature. If we understand that point very clearly, you know, scientifically, that you take less and less responsibility for this body as yours. Yes, of course, you do something. You are the caretaker of this body, like you're owning a car or a house. You look after it. You have to clean it, look after it, manage it. That is the different thing from claiming ownership. Absolutely, there is no reason for one to say, this is me, mine and myself. Duality exists when somebody identifies oneself as me and myself, then obviously some other person needs to become somebody else. If you don't have the view of me and myself, there's no duality because we are all connected, a part of the nature. That's what I would say.
Yeah. These things we have to understand. Even your wish, you can take this body as your vehicle. Then you take your choices as you. So I can choose this vehicle and I can drive this vehicle. So this is also your choices also conditioned by your past experiences and whatever thing you are experiencing now. It is also a part of the process. There is no self. So that's what we have to understand, not only form, but feelings, perceptions, volitions, and consciousness is also conditioned. So it is a part of this conditional process. There is none of these things can claim as I, me, myself. So that is the important thing to understand, even not only the body. Body also functions based on causes and conditions. How mind is entangled with these bodily functions is very complicated because it can't describe only by the physiology, because physiology also have the some level of control on this mind can control the body. That's why the mind, these wishes come from different other conditionings. So these two work together. So these things we have to understand. That's why people get easily deluded by this system. So they rethink, oh, this is body is mine, my body work according to my wish. So you can say, you don't see how your wishes are conditioned by previous experiences. It is a stream of happening things. So the things you listen, things you pay attention is different to person to person. And the feelings, perceptions arise in these bodies and minds are different to person. That depends on causes and conditions that run these faculties. So what are the causes? These faculties you can see, they're physiologically these looks as same. But the consciousness is different to each and every person. Because their past karma or the past experiences are different. So that's why their way of dealing with the functionality of this consciousness is different. The IEA, these faculties are different to each other. So that's why sometimes the people get confused about these things. So that's why Lord Buddha says the self is the wrong notion, wrong understanding. That is the delusion. Self is the most, because most people, even the Buddha's time, understood that things are impermanent. All forms, feelings, perceptions, volitions are impermanent. But they thought this one self is employing, the using these resources. So that is the person who enjoy these things. So that person can go out. It is if a person develop mind to the highest states, they would see that, because they leave this human body and go to different kind of existences. If you read near-death experiences, you clearly see what people explain. So they leave this human body here and exist in a different place. Then you can explain it as, oh, that is the soul. It goes to the different level. So the soul is there, but the body is here. That is wrong understanding. It is a continuation of consciousness. That's all. That consciousness arises based on causes and conditions. When the causes and conditions say that there is no fixed personality, no fixed thing to call I, me, myself. That's why Lord Buddha say this one leads to suffering. Because you crave to one thing now, and after some time, you want to get rid of it and throw away it, and you try to find out a way to dispose it. You struggle, you suffer. Again you fall because of your previous choices. So who are the person? And who am I? Or the person in the early or now? So there is no fixed personality. That's why Lord Buddha say, this conscious process leads to suffering. So that's why you should find out the escape from this conscious process. So not only from the body. First thing, you can escape from the body and all the forms, feelings, perceptions, volitions and consciousnesses related to this five sense world, you can escape. You can experience that escape. So once a person develop mind to those states, Lord Buddha say, that person has the wisdom. Because they know how to escape. So is there any more questions?
There are some online. Let me ask related one from online. How do we distinguish what is bad karma versus just the nature of life when we have suffering? I know this is not truly the matter at the end of the day, but I've been curious to hear from a monk. So the difference between bad karma and things that have just happened because of the nature of life.
Yeah, Lord Buddha explained good and bad for the ground level. So greed-based actions and hatred-based actions as unskillful. This greed and hatred arise based on delusion. So greed-based, the verbal actions, bodily actions is the one we deal with others. This verbal actions and bodily actions, greed or hatred-based actions arise because your greed or hatred-based mental actions. So your thinking, way of seeing things, generate greed and hatred. So Lord Buddha say to avoid these greed-based, hatred-based actions. But if you don't develop the right attention to the objects, it is difficult to cut off the greed or hatred once it arises within us, because the deluded mind always fall into greed and hatred. That's why Lord Buddha say, even though when you're born in some situations, some places, some environments, you don't cultivate most of the bad habits. If you're born in an environment which always create greed, hatred, and delusion, so that means that depends on the place where you're born. So some places when you're born, you cultivate good verbal behaviors, good bodily behaviors from the birth. Because your parents, where you live, whatever people you associate with, they cultivate so many good things. Some people born in the bad places, they always struggle, fight, and cultivate all the time anger, hatred, all these things. So, but still you are deluded. So this delusion is the root cause of generating all the greed and hatred. So until you are non-deluded, you are vulnerable to generate greed and hatred. So that's why Lord Buddha say, until you remove this the delusion, by seeing the people who develop their mind to higher states and understand the truth in this world. So then they inspire you to abandon the delusion. When you practice the non-delusion, then you cultivate non-greed, non-hatred towards all objects you encounter until you have these faculties, until you have that consciousness. So that's why, to understand to what is skillful and what is unskillful, what is kusala and what is akusala, is always the greed, hatred based, all the actions leads to suffering. So that's why Lord Buddha say these are unskillful. So even though you are in a difficult situations, it leads to suffering. So that's why you have to have the right view. But if you don't have right view, you have no other choice. When you face difficult situations, you just fall into the greed and hatred. So the good example in this world is now the Ukraine. The people in Ukraine have to protect their things because they take all these properties. This country is our country. These properties belongs to us. So that's why we have to fight to protect the properties. It is common for all of you. When you are facing a trouble, if you don't think according to this Dhamma, you are not ready to let go things. You have to understand. This is not only for them, for all living beings. That's why you have to reflect wisely and release your grip. Then you can release from suffering. You are always grasping things. That is the way how these bodies and minds works in this world. You have to accept as it is.
Could I just ask, how do the Brahma Viharas fit into this? Because quite a lot of us practice metta, and I guess it opens the mind, if you like. There's less duality. And is that it's, and it also encourages good feelings, for want of another word. I just wonder how this is going to fit into the way you're talking today. Thank you.
Yeah, according to the Buddha's teachings, metta also liberate your mind from attachments to this world. So because you accept things as it is, you don't give a chance to hatred or anger related to any object. So then you cut off. So if you want to cut off the hatred, you have to cut off the greed. Wanting and the hatred come together. If you want to get rid of all the hatred towards hatred or unhappiness or all these things, whatever vyapada, that means the ill will arise regarding any objects, you have to cut off the greed. So that's why when people practicing metta, the compassion, loving kindness to all living beings, or the all experiences, so they have to cut off these two. So that is a sila. That is a sila of the paramas again. So that's why it doesn't open up the right view, but that practices leads to the peace of mind, and that practices leads to the higher state of the mind. So they develop their mind to the jhana realms and go and exist those jhana realms for a long time. So that's why Lord Buddha say it is beneficial, but it never ends the samsara. So I have read suttas. Lord Buddha clearly say these things in the developing jhanas based on metta, karuna, mudita, upekkha, these four Brahma viharas. If they don't have the right view, they go and reborn on those planes of existences. After the end of those lifespans, they come back to the lower realms because they do not end the craving to existence, because delusion is there. The underlying the thing in the stream of consciousness, it is not come to the non-delusion. So that is the difference between the most of the other religions and Buddhism.
Help. It's an aid. It's a way of helping ourselves in a sense. Perhaps as we're meditating, to use metta, for metta to arise.
Yeah.
It's like a step on the path.
Yeah, it is a step on. Because this metta come from non-delusion also. If you practice non-delusion, non-self, it is the strong foundation to cultivate this metta. Otherwise, you practice metta as what the best, the higher quality, which belongs to the Brahma or the God. It is a quality of God. You are going to unite with God, or we are going to unite with Brahma. So we are cultivating the qualities of Brahma. So that's why we just focus our attention to those qualities and we follow those qualities. But that is not removing delusion. You are removing delusion. You are paying attention to whatever thing you are experiencing now. And you see there is no self. And things arise based on causes and conditions. Then naturally, the loving kindness arises for all living beings and all your experiences. Why? There is no driver here. No one to blame here. This is a natural flow of happening things. So that's why then you know, to escape from this flow of happening things, you have to practice mindfulness and cut off all the unskillful mental actions, verbal actions, and bodily actions. That is the first five factors of Noble Eightfold Path. So first thing is right attitude, right intention. That is metta. So right motivation is metta. So this avihinsa avyapada nikkam, that is metta. It comes from the right view. So that is the difference. Otherwise, you can imagine the God is the fullest metta. So we have to practice that one and go to that. Metta, karuna, mudita, upekka, all four can practice. It attribute to the God. So we see as the quality of God or the Brahma. That is what the people did early.
So this is a very related question. It's Richard from Bolivia, and he asks about the five khandhas and how they relate to what you just mentioned on suffering and the skillfulness that one needs to have with the khandhas. Does being skillful in action mean that every action has to be a meritorious deed? And how do you relate the duty to the first noble truth, which is of the suffering, from this part?
Ask again.
So, the five khandhas. Summarize. Yeah. So the question, to summarize, is he's asking how the five khandhas relate to what you describe and the first noble truth.
Yeah.
What is the connection?
Yeah.
Just as there was a connection to the Brahma Vihara.
Yeah.
What is the connection to the five khandhas?
Yeah.
And do you only have to do the positive things?
Yeah. That's what Lord Buddha said even in this sutta. This, when these five khandhas arise, you take those five khandhas. That means feelings, perceptions, volitions. So these are become khandhas. When you attach to this, you are grasping on these things because you value these feelings, perceptions, and volitions, and you want these things. That grasping, that gratification is the holding on things. So this, we are holding on impermanent things. That's why suffering always associate with this grasping. So you can't separate. That's why Lord Buddha say, when this conscious process is working, so the forms, feelings, perceptions, volitions arise. It is the products of consciousness. Feelings, perceptions, volitions arise. So you holding on these things. You have upadan. So you value these things and holding on. Oh, this is nice. This is good. You keep. But can you keep these things? No. All these things give a rise based on causes and conditions. When the causes and conditions change, these things change to different things. So you get suffering. So suffering is always associated with this conscious process. So that's why Lord Buddha say, let go the whole thing. Release from your consciousness. Don't advert these five senses. Release from five senses. Then you release from the five sense consciousnesses. So then you see the mind consciousness arise because you advert the mind objects, the fine material objects. So then you get rid of that one also, because until you advert this, the stream of consciousness function. So bring to the cessation is just let go. They cut off the value of these experiences. Because until you see these things as impermanent, you are always grasping on. Until you see these things generate suffering, this is the cause of suffering, you just gratify these things, enjoy these things. go behind these things. When you take in the, that way, you are try to you are then motivated to let go things. That's why when you are practicing right view, then what is the right motivation? Avihinsa, avyapada, nekkham. So, non-harming thoughts, non-ill will, and non-sensuality. Non-sensuality, you have to understand. You are let go of the sensual world. Otherwise, you are always motivated to enjoy the sensual world. So, it leads to suffering. So, that's why the five khandhas arise because the engagement with the five sense world. When you engage with the five sense world, consciousness arises. When your consciousness is there, feelings, perceptions, volitions arise. It is a part of the system. So that's why you have to liberate your mind from this one, or one by one. Otherwise, you can reflect wisely and cut off the craving and release. There is no end. Until this consciousness exists, you are vulnerable to suffering. You have to be mindful, mindfully cut off and let go. If you are not mindful, you are just attached and you fall into suffering.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you for using the example of Ukraine and bringing it into the real day, real time. Would you say that the people in Ukraine are actually deluded because they want to protect their country and their property? And if so, how should they behave?
Yeah.
And if you don't resist, what then? Well, we know what then. Yeah. They're not actually invading Russia. So how, what's your take on all of that in the light of what you've been saying?
Yeah, actually, this is the thing we have to accept as it is, this world. You know, even Buddha's time, how a small number of people understood what Lord Buddha said. Lord Buddha told people that one king want to go and attack another country. To kill, because he want to get revenge from the Sakyans, the Lord Buddha's, the relations. Lord Buddha asked him, don't do that. It is not good for you and all your people. But they didn't accept what Lord Buddha told. So Lord Buddha's, this Dhamma, very few people listen and understand. Therefore, people's minds always run based on delusion. So they possess these things, these countries or the other possessions. Even Lord Buddha say, even this body is a natural phenomena. It is not belongs to you. So people get inspired when they listen and pay careful attention on these teachings. Otherwise, it is the way how it works. All living beings are same. There is no difference. So that's why they want to protect their country. They want it is a common thing. It is not only for Ukrainians. All other country people also the same. If any war come, if China attack to the Australia, they will know what to do. They will know how to fight and all this stuff for protect their country. So that is the general consciousness. That is how it works. So you can't expect from people to do something different. But, you know, if you carefully investigate among all those people, maybe there are some people, they just let go of these things. They know, they understand the realities related to their life. Because if you read Ukrainian history, so you see how many times if the Russians attack and destroy their properties and capture their land. It is a part of their existence. If you exist in this world, you have to face all these things. We know as Sri Lankans, we know how many times Indians capture Sri Lanka and destroy all properties and take all valuable stuff to their country. It is a part of the existence. You can't blame them. Because the deluded minds do that. Then what happened next? Though then the Sri Lankans organize, some kings, leaders organize and they chase them away. And recapture their land. They say, "Oh, we win! Now this is our." Can they keep forever? No. Again, Indians, when they become powerful, they capture back again. Now, hundreds of years is good because the UN Charter and all these things. They can't directly fight. Otherwise, they will capture. A few years ago, I think the South Indians want to capture the Sri Lanka, because The Sinhalese people harass the Tamils. So that's what they say. This is world. All minds run by delusion. You have to accept as it is. No need to worry. You have to liberate your mind. So you can't fix all the problems in the world. You can help others. Okay. Okay, yeah.
Hello, Hello, Bhante. Thank you for the nice talk, Bhante. Bhante, just one more question, yeah? My simple question is just like this, because I myself, even though I have already been so many years, you know, since childhood. Oh, yeah. So since I have already known Buddhism since my childhood, one very simple thing that I cannot having the meditation concentration for the one full, this one. But I have got a very good reflection every night since my childhood. So I keep on thinking myself whether on that day I have already done my best. Because you keep on saying that person can be deluded. And one of the things that we have to do is, I know that metta, karuna, mudita, upeka, like that kind of thing. I'm very conscious of that. But one more thing that I still don't understand, that when I cannot meditate, if I can only do the reflection at night, and then I realize that whether on that day I have done the right thing or not, or on that day I have done a very good thing or not, is that enough to, suppress, let's say you say that about greed, hatred, and wanting. So if I keep on doing that way through the reflection, but recently because I was told if I cannot do the meditation, but I can also do the very simple things such as washing the dishes and then stepping forward and then walking, and then I use my mind and then I realize all those things. Will it help for us, you know, to develop all those things like metta, karuna, mudita, and upeka?
Yeah, actually, if you read Buddha's teachings, actually Buddha not inspire people like that, but many different today teachers ask people to do, engage with this kind of thing. This one is also okay. But if you try to understand these fundamentals, so what I'm telling, how Lord Buddha taught to people, so then actually because you are people who are living in this level have some level of wisdom to understand things. So you can pay attention to these teachings and if you try to understand, you see this impermanence and non-self within this system, this eye, nose, tongue, body, and mind. So then you can build up a different relationship with your body and mind. So that is the most important thing. That's what I try to inspire by reading the Buddha's teachings, because Buddha mostly teach these things, not all these other surrounding practices. Because if a person don't have much faith and confidence regarding Buddha's teachings, this kind of practices is okay. So reflecting on whatever thing you have done today or the daytime, it is good to correct these things. But if you take all these things happen because your foolishness or your wisdom, that is also come from delusion. So that's why we can't say these things you can use this kind of reflecting on your actions to improve your verbal actions, bodily actions, and way of behaving in this world. But it is not the Lord Buddha's the final way of teaching things. That means you go to the liberation. It never leads to liberation. So that's why still you are in deluded. So that's why the Lord Buddha always inspire people to think that all your experiences are impermanent. subject to change. When the causes, these things arise, all these experiences arise within us because causes and conditions. So your mind also run based on causes and conditions. Whatever thing you see in front of you, what you understand on these things, totally based on your past experiences, past education. So your seeing is a process. So is it a natural process? When you learn new things regarding the object, you see different things in the object. Previously, you haven't seen. So this is an always continuously running process. So that's why there is no point of blaming to yourself whatever thing you have done early, because you were not inspired to do the right thing. So then your mind is focusing to identify what are the causes and conditions, generate this kind of verbal actions and bodily actions or mental actions. So then you see the causes and conditions behind this phenomena. So then you know how to correct it, how to find out the right thing to avoid this mental actions, verbal actions and bodily actions. So that's why Lord Buddha say this is a natural phenomenon. You have to accept as it is. So then you can find out what is skillful and what is unskillful. This greed, hatred come from delusion. Because you take this body and mind, all these phenomena, all the products of phenomena, feelings, perceptions, volitions are my stuff. All our verbal actions, bodily actions arise here as I, me, myself. No, the causes and conditions generate these things. Then you see how to avoid these unskillful causes and conditions, how to develop the mindfulness regarding the present moment and avoid. This training is the most helpful thing to develop this meditation. You know, this day-to-day life, if you are mindfully deal with objects with the right attitude, so that is the most inspiring thing, that is the most helpful thing. Then you get contented and you develop the mindfulness to avoid all unskillful verbal actions and bodily actions, and that mindfulness helpful you to cultivate good verbal behaviors and bodily behaviors. So it leads to the beneficial development within yourself. And at the same time, you see, so falling into the unskillful states is come when the consciousness is working. Then you are inspired to get rid of all these things and liberate. Because the suffering always associate, even though if you act skillfully, develop all skillful verbal actions and bodily actions, but your mind attached to objects, you see, it is not harmful for yourself or others, but you attach to objects which are not permanent, subject to change. Therefore, you fall into suffering. You attach to your body, you are attached to your vision, you are attached to your the hearing, but your ear get the fail one day, your eyes get fail one day. You don't see anything. I get blind. Or sometimes you get sick, and sometimes your vision gets stopped. You don't see things. Sometimes some sicknesses create these kind of things. So these faculties are impermanent stuff. These things are changed. All the sights also change. The external objects also can change and vanish. This is the nature. So then when you see the world in this way, you inspired to let go things and free your mind from attaching to objects. So then you develop in the right way, right path. Otherwise, there is no end of fixing things. Because you can fix one thing, then another thing arises which create problems. So then you have to fix again. So there is no end of fixing things. Okay, is that the end? Okay, then. So we pay respect to Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha.
Arahaṁ sammā sambuddho bhagavān buddhaṁ bhagavantaṁ abhivādi Svakkhato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sangham